right, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Sunday morning service at Shield of Faith Baptist Church. It's great to see everybody here today. It's been a great week. Let's go ahead and grab our hymn books, please, and we'll turn to song number 288, I Am Resolved. And let's lift up our voices together, song number 288, I Am Resolved, No Longer to Linger. With a word of prayer, please.
God, just thank God for gathering us here today. God, just open our hearts as Pastor proceeds word. God, also I would like to God pray for Steadfast and Pastor Shelley for the trials they're going through. God, to protect them as they go through those trials. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, well, let's turn to song number 223, Springs of Living Water. 223, Springs of Living Water. I thirsted in the barren land of sin and shame, 223 springs of living water. On the first, I thirsted in the barren land of sin and shame, and nothing satisfying there I found. But to the blessed cross of Christ one day I came. Living water did abound. Drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul is satisfied. Drinking at the springs of living water, wonderful and bountiful supply.
Drinking at the springs of living water.
the springs of living water.
Good morning. Welcome to Shield of Faith Baptist Church. If you don't have a bulletin, you can raise your hand, and we do have a couple left. And we'll go through these announcements real quick. Front page, weekly church service time, Sunday mornings at 10:30, Sunday evenings at 6, and Wednesdays are at 7 p.m. Underneath there is a list of soul-winning times. And Saturday mornings at 10:30 meeting right here is pretty consistent. We don't change the time or the location. All the other times are subject to change. 208-391-5323 is the number to call if you have questions about soul winning or anything of that nature. Back page, so tonight we'll be starting chapter 2. So we'll be starting chapter number 2 of James. We won't be finishing it. And thanks to everybody who put their cards in the box over here for completing the New Testament challenge. Still got today and tomorrow to finish up, so if you're like 30 pages or 30 chapters behind, you better start reading, okay? Just don't read during the sermon today. Just start reading after. Well, you know, we're reading Acts chapter 20 today, so if you're that far behind, that's one down. You know, that's going to help you out, right? You're good. All right. Another thing, if you guys could remember this, if you get a chance, write down on one of the communication cards whether you like the challenge we did this year or if you prefer the 9 chapters a day. We're just kind of curious to see how that, if it helped the way that we did it or didn't, doesn't matter. It's up to you. Just any feedback would be greatly appreciated. This week's memory verse is Luke chapter 2, verse 52, which says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." We are a family integrated church, and that means we don't separate children from their parents for any reason. There is a mother baby room right across the hallway. Daddy baby room could be over there, or you could go over here into the break room and chow down on all those donut holes and just have a great time, man. It's up to you, all right? Don't forget to turn your phone off or place it on silent so it's not a distraction. And the very bottom line says awareness without action is a biblical infraction. That was from last Sunday morning. So with that being said, we're going to have one more song before we receive the offering.
All right, let's grab those hymn books one more time, please. We'll turn to Psalm 244, Amazing Grace. And let's sing it loud, Psalm number 244, Amazing Grace.
All right, on the first.
I once was
Amen.
All right, well, let's go ahead and pray. Thank you so much, Lord, for allowing us to be able to meet here this morning. Just pray that you'd bless the service, Lord, bless our tithes and offerings, and be with us as we go throughout the rest of our day. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Everyone, turn to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. When you get to Acts chapter 20, we'll start in verse 1. And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them, and departed for to go into Macedonia. And when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece, and there abode 3 months. And when the Jews had laid wait for him, he was about to sail into Syria. He purposed to return through Macedonia. And there accompanied him into Asia Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus, and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus, and of Asia, Tychicus, and Trophimus. These going before tarried for us at Troas, and we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber, where they were gathered together, and there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep, and as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft, and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him, said, Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again, and had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive, and were not a little comforted. And we went before to the ship, and sailed unto Assos, there intending to take in Paul, for so had he appointed, minding himself to go afoot. And when he met with us at Assos, we took him in, and came to Mytilene. And we sailed thence, and came next day over against Chios. And the next day we arrived at Samos, and tarried at Trogyllium, and the next day we came to Miletus. For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus, because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hasted, if it were possible for him, to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus, and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you all at seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but showed you, and have taught you publicly, and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that the bonds and affliction abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of grace of God. And now, behold, I know that you all, among when I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take ye therefore unto yourself and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own self shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch, and remember, that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God, and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver, or gold, or apparel. Yea, ye yourself know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities, and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, It is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all, and they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more, and they accompanied him unto the ship. Brother Moses, you want to pray for us?
All right, amen. Acts chapter number 20. So if you would, look at verse number 31. It says this, Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Now, the title of the sermon this morning is the three-year audit. So obviously everybody in here knows that we've been an independent Baptist church now for 3 years, okay? And so what I'm going to do this morning is kind of take a look at this passage here where Paul is talking to the elders or the leadership of the churches in Ephesus, okay? And you say, well, why do that? What's the big deal there? Well, you're going to see that there's a lot of warnings that Paul gives after the space of 3 years. And if you study churches, if you study organizations, and you study these things out, you'll see that that's about the time where a lot of these things that he mentioned start to happen, okay? So I'm going to bring these things up. I'm going to give you the vision for the next year, what we're going to do to make sure that we don't lose our first love and such things of that nature, okay? So that is what we're talking about here. So again, look at verse 31. He says, Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Now, if you think about it, you know, you've been coming here since the beginning or for any length of time. You know, we've said things up here and we've talked amongst ourselves about, you know, various issues that people have. And, you know, if people start to do this, this is what's going to happen. And all of those things have come to pass 100% of the time. It's because it's human nature. It's just human behavior. It's how we are. You know, Paul knew that people, you know, the majority of people cannot hold on to truth for very long. It's just the way that it is, okay? And so with that obviously comes problems, and we need to snuff these things out. So back up, if you would, to verse number 19. And let's start this off here. So what are some of the things that Paul brings up after this three-year span of time? And the first one that I want to highlight is in verse number 19. Paul says, Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait
of the Jews. Now, obviously, that verse there has a lot of things going on. You know, Paul was constantly under persecution. The believers were constantly under persecution. And it's really no different today. Okay, you have to understand that if you're going to be humble, if you are going to be a disciple of Christ, persecution is coming. Okay, it will come from your family. It will come from your extended family, your neighbors, your coworkers, people that you don't even know. Okay, and with that, you know, comes a trial. Okay, it comes a testing time. And how you respond during that will determine whether or not you are able to continue on in the faith. And so he mentions something here that I think is very important, and we're going to spend some time talking about this. But in the beginning of the verse, he says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. Okay, why is he saying that? Is he bragging? Is Paul like, hey, look at me and look what I did? You know, you guys suck, but no, he's saying, hey, look, I set the example, okay? I came here, I served you with all humility of mind. You guys need to do likewise. You need to adopt this mindset, okay? And this is something that we all struggle with, every single one of us, okay? Why? Because we have the old man, okay? Pride and, you know, just arrogance are something that we constantly have to battle off, that we constantly have to fight here. Now turn to 1 Peter chapter number 5. And so the first thing we're going to talk about this morning is humility of mind. This is something that we all need to work on here. While you're turning to 1 Peter chapter 5, I'm going to read for you Proverbs 15:33, which says, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." Okay? Now, I think everybody in here that's saved, you know, hopefully everybody in here is saved, right? But I think everybody in here would say, you know, when this is all said and done, okay, when we're out of here, when we're done, when we're no longer able to go and preach truth, when we're no longer able to stand up for things on this earth, I think we would all like to say that, you know, we'd like to receive honor. You know, the honor that lasts forever. Not the honor that comes from your job necessarily or from your family or your friends or your coworkers or whatever, your neighbors. Okay, because that's only temporary. You know, and please keep in mind, I'm not preaching that you, oh, don't try to strive for excellence in your jobs or for, you know, your relationships or whatever, because I'm not. You guys know that. Right, but we ought to have this mindset and understanding that honor follows humility. Okay, if you're going to receive honor, if you're going to receive these rewards that we are promised in the eternal, you're not going to do it unless you constantly have this attitude and this mindset. I'm a soldier, and part of being a soldier for Christ is fighting my own self, fighting this pride and this temptation of arrogance that so easily doth beset us. Okay, this is something that is very important. You're there in 1 Peter 5. Look at verse number 5. So Peter says this. He says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and give grace unto the humble." Okay, why do we need God's grace after we're saved? Why do we need his mercy? Why do we need that in our lives? Because we're all messed up, right? Right? We're all messed up. And so here's the thing. Look, if we just develop this attitude, this us four and no more attitude, and when people come in here, they can sense it. They can sense it. Okay? Because we have to understand that people that come through that door, by and large, are not like us. You know, they're coming from various backgrounds. Okay? I mean, unless they're coming to visit us from another, you know, new IFB church, or they have a good, you know, Baptist background, or, you know, they've been fortunate enough to maybe be watching online for a considerable amount of time, they are going to say some weird stuff. Okay? Now, I'm not talking weird like 18,000-foot-tall giants weird. Okay? That's a whole nother sermon. That's a whole different program. Okay? I'm not talking weird like Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden are dead and our money's now backed by gold and everything's just glorious. Old America's back. 1776 is back, okay? That's weird. That's a whole nother sermon. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? I'm talking about just your person like, hey, I was invited here. And they come in here and their face looks like they fell through a tackle box, okay? How we treat those people, they can sense it because they are walking. I mean, think about it. They get up in the morning, okay? They make the decision. I'm going to go try this out, okay? I'm going to go in there, and they're running scenarios through their heads, okay? They know they're not like us. They look at you. They see you're dressed up. You got your best countenance forward, and they're instantly thinking, I'm garbage. Okay, and so it's our job to neutralize that. But here's the thing, we can't do that if we don't have humility. Okay? And the more humility, the more grace that we show unto these other people, the more that God's going to do that to us, because let's face it, we all know that when no one's looking on Monday morning and someone cuts you off, right, those thoughts pop up. And a lot of times it's a hand that pops up or something of that nature, isn't it? Okay? And we need God's grace. And don't even lie, boy. You know it's true, okay? You know that that is true. Now, if you would go to Colossians chapter number 2. And so the first thing I want to talk about this morning is all humility of mind. How are we doing? How are we perceived? And I would say we're doing okay, but not great. Okay. So a lot of the feedback that I've gotten this year from people who have come to this church to visit or claim to come to visit, you know, because sometimes we don't really know, because a lot, you know, we get people's names, but their emails are always different. It's like, you know, Carl Lover 1775, you know, something weird like that, you know, and it's like, did you really come and visit? But by and large, what I'm trying to tell you is that a lot of people perceive us as not being very friendly. This church right here. Okay? Now, a lot of you are thinking, well, that's not true. And it may not be. It's probably not. Okay? But perception is reality for those people. Because their faith, let's say they are saved and they come in here. Okay? Their faith is weak. If they haven't been going to church, if they haven't been reading the Bible, if they're not in the Spirit, those people are weak in faith. So what they can perceive with the physical eyes is reality to them. So what that means for us is that we have to go a little bit above and beyond for these people, to reach out to them, to let them know it's okay, to let them know that they're welcome here, to let them know that, hey, this is a place where you could feel welcome, where you could come in and you can grow in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. Okay? So what I want to do now is I want to give you some statistics that I think are pretty interesting. So we've been keeping track of all the visitors that come in here, how they heard about us, and so on and so forth. And this year we had 100, well, okay, so last year. This isn't January to January. It was February to this February, our church year anniversary, if that makes sense, okay? So we had 122 guests come through that door in a 12-month time span, okay? So the question is, how many of them stayed? And the answer is 6, and 1 got the boot. So not too bad, okay? Not too bad. And that doesn't, let's see here, I got it written down here. Baby Aiden and Mini Bronx, baby Tortellini, they count because they have to stay. Okay, so I should have wrote that in here. So if you count those guys, then we're up to 8. And 1 got the boot, okay? But, at one point they were visitors. The first time, you know, baby Titus came in here, he visited the church. Same with the broiler, right? The same with baby Marilise. I mean, you know, you guys are all visitors. Actually, that puts it to 9. I forgot about the babies, didn't I? But, hey, at one point they were guests. So, you know, outside of the womb counts, okay? Okay, so out of, let's say, those 9, we had 2 people stay temporarily, and the reason why they left is because they moved to Oregon, okay? You guys know who I'm talking about. Great family there. Very, very nice, loving people. And we had 2 other people who seemed to like it, said they were going to keep coming back, came back a few times, and then we just never saw them again. So life circumstances, things of that nature, I'm not really sure how that went, but they are gone. So how many people walked through that door in that 122 came as a result of soul winning? So either you got them saved, you talked with them, or you gave them an invitation. And the answer is 9. Okay, so we had 9 people come through that door as a result of door-to-door soul winning. And this is where some churches would say, okay, it's not working. Yeah, it doesn't work. Okay, well, no, actually, your mind doesn't work, if that's what you're thinking. Your brain doesn't work. Because guess what? We had 179 people saved as a result of our efforts as a church. I think it works. Okay, do people have to come to church and maintain, you know, church status to be saved or to stay saved? No. So obviously it works. Soul winning works. Either way you slice it, okay? Now, is it the best way to build a church? I'd say yes. Even with these 9 people that came in here, I would still say it's the best way to build a church. Because what are we doing? We're being obedient. We're trying to fulfill the Great Commission. What is our mission as a church? It's to evangelize, like Philip, right? Philip the evangelist, right? That is our mission, to evangelize and to edify people. Building disciples, that is our mission, okay? David and I, we got this family saved not this Saturday, but the Saturday prior. And this last Friday, we were able to follow up with him. And I would say it went well. I mean, well, you know, the future will determine whether that's true, whether that perception is true or not. But, you know, they were welcome to us coming in there. We gave them a little Romans 1 Bible study, and, you know, and we did. And they were like, all right, cool, this is how it is. You know, thanks for explaining that. You know, we talked about many other things, how our church works. And, you know, we've got some activities planned for them. We're going to do some youth stuff with them in hopes to make them feel comfortable and to let them know how we are and, you know, these things and to try to build them up, right? That is what we do. That is why we exist as a church. So 9 people in a 12-month period walk through that door as a result of our cards, our invitations, if you will. Now, last year we had 7,000 invites go out. Okay? And you say, well, what's the significance there? Well, the word on the street or the statistic is for every 1,000 invites that you actually give a person, you'll get one visitor. Okay? So we're actually doing pretty well with that statistic. We're actually above that. So because you have to understand that not all 7,000 invites got into the hands of people, okay? Because we had some clowns walking around behind us, taking them off doors and throwing them away. You know, you give them to people and they go in the glove box for, you know, I'm guilty. I'm an invitation hoarder. You know, when we're out of invites, the first thing I do is go out to the car. I'm like, oh, well, there we go. Got a whole stack of them there, okay? So you have to understand that we didn't actually give 7,000 invites to people, but generally speaking, 7,000 went out, and as a result, we got 9 visitors. Who knows what this year will hold? We've already had 2 people come in here as a result of soul winning, so we'll see. If we get that other family back in here in the coming weeks, well, that's going to bump that up to even more, okay? And we just ordered 6,000 invitations, so my goal is to get 12,000, if we can, out this year. We'll see, okay? So moving on. Now 122 people came through those doors, okay? 9 came through as a result of soul winning. Now, I didn't do the statistics for, like, our friends from Verity or Sure Foundation or Steadfast, you know, these guys that come in from these other churches. I mean, I counted them in here, but I'm not going to go over this because they just, they're our friends, you know, they're going to come and go all the time. So we didn't go through those. Okay, so this is interesting here, okay? How many people do you think came through the door as a result of what is called, what I'm calling a personal relationship? So somebody that you built a relationship with or that you have a relationship with outside of this church? 22. 22 people came in here as a result of you guys either knowing them or developing some kind of interaction with those people, and they came in here. Okay, so 9 came through the door as a result of soul winning, but 22 came through those doors as a result of you either working with somebody, being related to somebody, giving birth to somebody, you know, something of that nature. And I do have the babies down here on this one. So, you know, we got 3 babies. So still works, you know. Hey, God grows the church. That's why that sign's on the back wall there, okay? You know, that's a good idea. God grows the church one way or the other, you know? So start cranking them out, you know? And that'll be good. And so we already talked about how many of them stayed as a result. So we had 9, okay? So next thing up, and the last thing that I wanted to go over, which is also very interesting. How many people came through the doors as just a result of an internet search? Okay, that was the next thing. So when somebody comes in the church, we say, hey, you know, how'd you hear about us? And if it's like, oh, you know, Brother Vic invited me, I write a P next to him, and I try to get their name. Or hey, I just typed in Baptist Church in Google or typed in church on Google. It's not a result of a personal relationship. It's not a result of soul winning. Or, you know, they're not from another church that's friends with ours. I just write down P or I write down I for internet. They just found us on the internet somehow. Google, our website, whatever. They just stumbled upon us, okay? And the answer is 22. So kind of interesting. 22 people came through those doors as just a result of looking for a church, okay? And with those, so out of that one, let's see here. 2 stayed and 1 person keeps in contact with us regularly. So, now there you go. And out of the rest of the people, let's see, 1 left us a 4-star review and an email, loved the church, you know, loved what was said up here. could work on personality, stuff like that, okay? Now, again, I think that we're pretty nice to people. I think, you know, that is. But apparently, we're not perceived that way. So it's just something that we need to work on, okay? Either way, you know, don't get mad. Don't get offended. Okay, let's just make it right. Okay, let's make it right. And let's make sure that when people come through those doors, hey, we're here to help you. Okay, we are here to help you. Look, I'll tell you a story. This is kind of embarrassing, but it's true. You know, back in the days when I wasn't really reading the Bible, but I was saved, I was reading all these other books about Bibles. You know, I was in the military. And we went into this little church, you know, and it was Pentecostal. They kept saying, well, we're not Pentecostal. We're non-denominational. You know, I'm like, this stuff is just weird, though. It gets weird sometimes here. But we stayed a lot longer than we should. And you know why? It's because of how genuinely nice those people were. In fact, they are so nice that I still talk to some of them even to this day. Like, I saw some of your videos, you know, and they're just like, you know, just, it is what it is. But, I mean, think about that. That goes a long way. Your attitude towards other people can make or break their decision whether or not they want to come back here. Now, obviously, out of a lot of those people, you know, some of them were just downright rude. Okay, so, two of them specifically, we found out 2 weeks ago, Brother Jeff and I think it was 2 weeks ago, that they're actually Seventh-day Adventists now. Okay, they're like, oh, well, the reason why we didn't come back is because you don't have service on Saturday. We're not Seventh-day Adventists, but we need to go to church on Saturday because that's the Sabbath. It's like, oh, man. Okay, so it's like, look, get out of here. Okay, and there's two people specifically, and you guys hopefully know who I'm talking about. Okay, Giant Boy and, you know, Nancy Pelosi's dad and Elon Musk is a robot boy. Okay, I'm to the point. They're rude to you and come back here, go ham on them. I'm serious, okay? That's what we're going to talk about here in a second. We don't need that guard. That's bizarre, okay? There's something wrong with those people, okay? And take that righteous indignation. Say, look, we've had enough. This is not cool. You have to go, okay? But they've already demonstrated who they really are. Okay. In fact, that other guy comes in here and be like, the exit's right there. So you're not going to get the chance with him. But with the other guy, you know, I heard that he was being rude when he was here last time. And look, we're not going to put up with that, man. We're just not. Now, we do need to give people a chance when they come in here and it's their first time. Because some people, they put on this front, right? That's their protective, like, mechanism, right? They come in here and they feel threatened, okay? So give them that grace, though, right? The first couple times. But after, I would say, the third or fourth time, they're just being rude to everyone and just really, they got these weird, bizarre ideas, okay? It's time to deal with it, is what I'm saying, okay? But everyone else, man, even if they are being rude and it's their first time and you know, you feel they're probably not coming back, look, be nice. Because at least when they leave, we're the bigger people. We were the ones that were mature. Okay, and they'll know in their hearts when they're going down Fairview, oh boy, you know, I came in there and I was rude, but they were nice to me. And that's going to hurt them. You're going to put those coals, those heaping hot coals on their heads, right? What does that mean? That means that you are living in their heads. They're not living in your heads, okay? This is something I think is very important for believers to understand, is that we need to become so mature to the point that we're not letting these people live in our heads. When people do us wrong, we just need to let it go, okay, and just get over it. So let's talk about how to deal with this. Colossians chapter number 2. So this path, we're going to read from verse 16 to 23. And Paul's really addressing the same thing that I'm talking about. Some people had come into the Colossian church, and they started preaching and kind of leading people astray and teaching this false humility, this false wisdom. And Paul's like, hey, I want to iron this out now, because you guys have like a seemingly humility type of persona going on, but it's really not. You've been hoodwinked, you've been taken advantage of, and let's take a look at this here. Look at verse 16. So Paul tells him, he says this, hey, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. Okay. I don't know what it is, but the last two clowns that have come in here have tried all of this stuff on us, okay? And what does Paul say? Hey, don't let them do it. And you know what? When Giant Boy was in the break room a couple Sunday nights ago and telling us he doesn't wear mixed fabrics, he doesn't eat pork and shellfish, you know, we kindly explained to him why that is wrong. There, look, hey, there's nothing wrong in the world with that. And let me just say this. If somebody comes in here and we try to get them saved and they're just like, oh, but I'm already saved, and they turn around and call me and say, hey, that was rude. Bye. Yeah. Bye-bye. I'm sorry you feel that way. Actually, I'm not. You know what? That's why we exist. We're trying to make sure that you're saved and you're taking it, you know, the wrong way. Shame on you. Shame on you, okay? So, look, we're not going to let people judge us and what we eat, okay? I'm going to make it a point here, and I'll talk about this in a minute. We're going to barbecue some pork. I'm going to bring that pit boss here, and we're going to pork it up. And I'm going to bring some shrimps, too. And whatever else I can find that's not kosher.
Amen.
Yeah, that's... okay. I'm trying to stay on track here, but I really want to unleash on some stuff, but whatever. Verse 17, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ, okay? Obviously, we know that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We need to remember that and understand that, okay? And so that's what he's saying. He said, hey, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Well, we know that the believers in the world are the body of Christ as well, okay? And as a church, as a local body, we can't let people come in here and tell us things like that and not check them on it, okay? But we did that, and we have witnesses. We did that lovingly, okay? Now, the Wednesday after that, it didn't get too lovely, okay? The conversation I had to have with this guy was not very nice. Verse 18, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Look, this clown that came in here, okay, and you guys know who I'm talking about, he tried doing all of this. You know, it's like, I went to Treasure Valley Baptist Church and his pastor's worldly. Oh, why? Because he had talked about going to Starbucks and their logo's wicked. Let me break some news to you. Every corporation out here is wicked and evil to some degree. What are you going to do, hero? Are you going to stop living? Are you just going to kill yourself? Do you not know that this entire planet is run by the devil? This entire planet is run by the devil. Oh, I'm so righteous and holy, and I'm a mega righteous holy person. I can't live on this earth anymore. I must go to Kolob. I don't get it. This is so. It really is so stupid. It's absolutely mind-boggling, okay? Vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Look, the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay, and what these people always try to do is they always try to pull up something in front of you that you can see. Okay, this is a discernment test that we need to be aware of. And understand, I'm dealing with somebody here who does not have any faith. Because I'm trusting what I can see on the internet. I'm trusting on, you know, what I can see out in nature. That's what I go to, okay? When you hear that and you see that, just know you're dealing with somebody who's probably going down this road here, and we've just dealt with this as a church. Verse 20, wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Okay, so Paul's just saying, hey, you know, why are you so concerned now after being saved with the fundamentals and the way that the world works and trying to excel in that and looking to that? Verse 21, touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using. Okay? You know, these people that come in here, and we've had this several times, where people come in here and they've just got this super mega righteous attitude. You know, oh, I don't go to Albertsons because they're Mormon. I don't go to... It's like, where do you go then? You going to go to Winco? I guarantee you there's Satanists that work high up in Winco. I guarantee you there's Satanists that work at Kroger. You know? There's dykes and trannies over there at Fred Meyer. At all of them. They're everywhere. Okay, go buy your food and just realize, hey, this whole thing's going to burn up. Right. It's done. We're ambassadors. I'm not even part of this deal.
Right.
I'm just here doing my mission and I'm out. Okay, that's the attitude we got to have.
Right.
You know, you want to be a dyke and a fag and all that stuff. You know what? Just stay away from me. We're going to rip your face off. You know, we're going to preach against you. We're going to do what we have to do. But at the end of the day, I'm still going to go buy, you know, my donuts and my shrimp and pork and all that stuff from Fred Meyer, whatever. I'm going to use those gas rewards. And guess what? If I feel the need to go to Starbucks, I'm going.
Right. Right.
Okay? And the message I have for these mega righteous people is, what church do you go to?
Right.
How faithful are you?
Yeah.
When was the last time you even gave someone the gospel?
Yeah, it's good.
Okay? Because I'll get these emails, you know, these long emails, and it's like, okay, here are my list of requirements for you to for me to enter into your church. Please respond back with a detailed explanation of all of them. I am dead serious. It's like, where do you go to church? No response. When's the last time you won someone to Christ? No response. So you can take that list and eat it. Verse 22, which all are to perish with using after the commandments and doctrines of men, right? So again, he's like what? You're going to start living now by the doctrines and commandments of men? This is something that we have to be careful of as a church. Look, we do things in here that aren't in the Bible, okay? Where does the Bible say you have to wear a suit and tie? Okay? So the reason why I bring that up, obviously we do that because we want to set some high standards, and we can find that precept and we can find that principle all throughout the Bible. We're going to talk about it here in a little while, okay? But does that mean we need to look at people who come in here that aren't dressed like us or whatever and be like, oh, not part of the program, I see, huh? No, we don't want to do that, okay? And it's kind of funny. That guy, Captain Giant, you know, he comes in here and he's like, yeah, you know, I got to make sure that these ladies are wearing dresses and skirts. I'm like, we need to make sure you're able to even be saved. Okay, at this point, no. Verse 23. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship. Okay, what's will worship? Okay, it's something believers fall into. It's where you start worshiping your will, your drive, your desire to excel in the rudiments of the world. Okay? Look, I'm trying to excel in my job right now. You know, every morning I get on the computer after I read the Bible and I start studying wiring diagrams and I start studying troubleshooting techniques for appliances that have 8,000 computer boards in them because I don't like to be wrong. I don't like to feel stupid. You know, I don't like to waste time and money, you know, so that's what I do. But that is necessary, okay? Training is necessary for you to excel in certain areas of life, okay? But how much more is it necessary for us to excel in the Christian life? And you know that's what he's talking about here, and that's true. So he says, in humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Go back to Acts chapter number 20. And so he's explaining to them, hey, you know, you've got what the Bible says is real humility of mind, okay? Where you put others above your own self. That is also referred to as the mind of Christ, which we want to make sure that we are instilling in all of us, okay, where we give grace unto the humble, grace unto the proud, grace unto people that don't deserve it, because that's what he does to us. Right. And I've seen him do that in my life in a major way as of recent. Okay, I don't have time to get into it, but, you know, I want to take that, because I've been thinking about it a lot, I want to take that and apply that to as many people as I possibly can, because, you know, he's blessed me tremendously, and I want to make sure that we're doing that to other people who we think don't even deserve it, okay? And again, to every rule, there's an exception. And when people come in here and they're just out of their minds on some of the stuff, and it's bad, you know, and they're getting perverse with things. They need to be dealt with swiftly and sharply. And we ought to not ever have this bleeding heart mentality over that, okay? And I don't think anybody in here has that. So let's go back here and move on. Humility of mind. So Acts chapter 20, look at verse number 20 now. Paul says this. He says, not only that, right, not only the humility of mind and all of that stuff, he says this, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, verse 21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice he doesn't say, hey, I taught you repentance from your sins so that then you could go to God and the Lord Jesus Christ, right? No, he's like, hey, I preached the true gospel house to house. I showed you guys how to do it. Don't neglect to show your congregation how to do the same thing. Don't neglect the first works. These are the first works that you know they get in trouble for in Revelation chapter 2, because we're going to take a look at that, okay? And notice, and don't forget what we're talking about here. After the space of 3 years, when did trouble come? After the space of 3 years, okay? And that is why I am preaching this. That is why we were talking about this, because we don't want to fall into any of the things that Paul is warning the churches in Ephesus about. So what is Paul talking about here? He's talking about soul winning. You know, nothing frustrates me more when people are like, I don't think you really have to go house to house. You know, the Spirit draws them. And if they truly repented, he'll give them the wisdom and understanding on how to turn from their sins to actually be saved and serve him. Wrong. False gospel. Yep. That's what that is. So let's talk about our soul winning as a church. So in a 12-month period, we average 10 soul winners out per week. Okay, well, we have, you know, between 30 and 35 people right now, you know, that come every single week. That's not bad. Some weeks we had more, some weeks we have less. And look, it's been really cold. Look, it's been really cold. So when I see the ladies not show up, I'm like, hey, you know, that's probably smart, man. It, like, yesterday it was cold. There have been some days where it's like, man, I remember one day a guy showed up and it was like -2. I'm like, we're going to the indoor apartments downtown. You know what I mean? Like, it hurts. It hurts sometimes. But we don't stop. Right? We don't stop. But some people aren't designed for the cold and maybe need to wait a little bit. Look, it's all good. I understand that. But here's the thing. We need to do more. Okay? We need to do more. We as a church have to grow. You guys, we have to understand this. Where you're at right now, where you think you're at right now, you cannot be there 12 months from now. Look, the more that we as a church grow, all of us, me included, okay, the more that God's going to trust us with other laborers to come in here, because it breaks every heart in this room when we're out and we're looking at all these apartments and we're looking at all these doors, right? And it's like, man, how are we going to finish this? We're not. That's the sad reality. We're not. But you know what? We might be able to if we can get some more people, get some more laborers, get some more people trained up. And you know what? We just need to remember humility of mind when people come in through here and try to latch onto them. Try everything that we can. That's all that we can do. We can't force anything. Right? Nobody forced me and my family to go to church 3 times a week and to do all these things. Right? I wanted to do it. But you know what? I owe a lot of it to the people that didn't snub their nose at me. They didn't look down on me because I wasn't like them or I wasn't caught up as they were. I owe those people that. Yeah. We all have that debt. So we average 10 soul winners per week, and right now we got a good thing going on. You know, we got soul winning in Caldwell and in, you know, that area of the Treasure Valley. We got soul winning in, you know, Boise, Nampa, Meridian Eagle, right? We try to take care of that on Saturdays. And now we've got soul winning in Mountain Home. So we're really got a good broad range of coverage when it comes to soul winning. Let's not lose that. Okay, let's not lose that. Let's keep that going. Let's keep that up. And to help that, what we're going to do this year is we're going to have some mini events and some marathons, okay? We're going to have one coming up here within a few weeks, and we're going to go to Ontario, okay? I'll give all the details out here in a couple of weeks. We're still trying to work things out. I got to get my new work schedule, you know, figured out because I have to work some Saturdays, okay? It is what it is. So we're going to have some of these, and the first place that we're going to go is Ontario. Because Ontario was great, you know. That's where the police liked us. Everyone liked us. There was only one guy in a wheelchair that didn't like us. Right? He didn't like us too much. But, hey, the police took our side, and you guys know that story. So I don't want to go down that road. So we're going to try to do this. The next thing we're going to do is we're going to go through a soul-winning seminar starting at the end of May, beginning of June, okay? And it's going to be on Saturdays, and it's going to go about 5 to 7 weeks, okay? It's going to be an hour before we actually go out. We're going to go through the books. Some of you were here when Pastor Menes did it a few years ago, okay? It's going to be the same program. It's just going to be done by our church, and we're going to put everybody who hopefully can make it through that program. And if you're like, well, I already went through it. Well, you can always learn again, okay? There are books and courses that I constantly go through that I've already gone through, and I'm like, how did I miss that, okay? Look, doing the New Testament challenge. Who in here was like, how did I miss that before, okay? Everybody, okay? So keep that in mind. Okay, so Acts chapter 20, look at verse number 24. Paul says this. He says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Go to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Here is the goal. Okay, we have a lot of things coming up that we're going to do this year. You know, related to soul winning, we have some other administrative changes that we're going to implement inside of this church. But what I want to make sure that we all understand is that we want to finish our course with joy, okay? I don't want you guys giving your time, your energy, your resources, your finances, whatever it is, grudgingly, okay? We don't want that. We want you to finish your course with joy. Okay, and so with that being said, we need to make sure that we figure out some ways to keep that. And, you know, a big part that goes into that is fellowship. It really is. It's fellowship. We got some ideas to increase that as well. And I don't think we're lacking it. You know, we have an event on Wednesday and people want to stay here till midnight. I think that's great. You know, it is. It's, you know, every once in a while you need a Baptist hangover. You know, that's what you need. Okay. It's good for the soul. Okay. But we want to finish the course with joy. Okay. And I know from behavior, because I've been in leadership for a long time, and it's so true. After about 3 years of running a crew or something like that, you know, complacency starts to set in, okay? Complacency starts to set in. People start to get antsy, apprehensive. They start to develop problems and so on and so forth. We just want to combat that. We want to stop that before it becomes a problem. So 2 Timothy 4, look at verse number 7, Paul says this, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He's not saying, hey, I kept my salvation. You know, we're going to talk about this a little bit tonight. He's just saying, hey, I kept my pure religion. That's what I did. You know, I took my mission from the Lord Jesus Christ. I respected it. I made a lot of mistakes. I got over them and I kept driving forward and I finished the course and I did it with joy. Okay. Did it with joy. I want everyone in here to get excited and to be pleased to come into church. I want you to be excited to come to every church service just like you were on Wednesday, just like you're going to be in April when we have our next set of guest speakers, and in June when we have our next guest speaker after that. Okay. I want you to be excited for all the services in between. I want you to be excited for what God is doing in your life, in my life, in our lives. That's what I want, joy. So we're going to work on increasing that this year. Go back, if you would, to Acts chapter number 20. And one of the ways that we're going to do that is also to make sure that we're not comparing ourselves with other churches. We love the other new IFB churches, okay? We love Verity Sure Foundation, but what we have to understand at the end of the day, we did not get the same start that those churches did necessarily, okay? Pastor Menas had it worse. You know, back then, you know, when Pastor Menas started his church, there was only Faithful Word Baptist Church, right? And they were, you know, small, and nobody really knew who they were. Nobody really knew that, okay? You know, and you fast forward to today, you know, there are a lot of people, a lot more people that know and understand the new IFB. It's just a movement back to the book of Acts, soul winning, discipling people, preaching truth, you know, not compromising. That's all it is, okay? And with that in mind, we ought to embrace that but not compare ourselves to how they're doing today, okay? Because look, Sure Foundation, they got a different start. You know, they started right off with a building. They started right off with like 40 people who were seasoned, soul winning in other churches. I mean, that's different. We didn't start like that, okay? It's not bad. I'm just saying we just didn't get the same start. We live in a different state. Okay, we have a different culture in this state. We have a different congregation. We have different finances. Everything is different. So we have to work with what we have, what God has given us. So don't look, at the three-year mark, whatever church, you know, they started doing this. Great. I've said this before and I'll say it again. Their success doesn't mean our failures. Okay, and if that's your attitude, I'm going to drive it out of you. I'm going to sniff it out and I'm going to beat it out of you. Don't compare this church to other churches. We are going to do what we need to do with what we have, who we have, and how much we have. Amen. And it is what it is. And if we can maintain that right attitude, you're going to see this year completely turn around. Because look, we've gotten a slow start to everything. Our numbers have been down on everything across the board. Tanked. Okay, but I have a feeling that it's going to turn around. But it's not going to turn around if we get bitter, we're upset, and we're telling lies, and we're doing all this other garbage. You know, that doesn't cut it. That is not okay. Okay, let's not be comparing ourselves to other churches. We love those churches. We invite them to come, and I go there, and it's great, okay? But don't be like, oh, man, Verity's got like 200 people. Look, they started this church. You know, they've been around for what, 11 years now? You know, come on, 3 years. And we've had a lot of trials. We've had a lot of idiots come in here. We've had people, and you wouldn't realize this, people that were all like, okay, is today your last day? Please, can today be your last day, you know? And, you know, and when they're gone, we're like, everybody's like, oh, amen. But you don't realize the spiritual damage that those people did.
Oh, yeah.
It had an effect on every mind in this room,
right, yeah.
Okay? It did. And there are people that just cannot handle that. Yeah. And I'm going to make sure that we don't go down that road. You know what I'm saying? We don't develop this bleeding heart attitude. I hate that. I'm watching this unfold right now. You know that?
Yeah.
I am watching this bleeding heart mentality unfold right now, and I don't like it. I hate it.
Yeah.
I won't put up with it
yeah.
at all. And you say, well, who is it? Well, it's nobody here. Okay. It's in another church. So if you're wondering, we'll talk about it later. If I'm allowed to. I gotta get permission first. But anyways, okay. Acts chapter 20, let's move on. Verse number 26. So quick recap, okay? Point number one, if you want to call it that, was all humility of mind. This is what we are auditing today, okay? This is what we are going through today. I gave you what we're gonna do to change that, to improve that. And the second thing was soul winning. Where we're at, what we're doing, what we've got coming. So let's move on to the next thing here. Acts 20, look at verse number 26. It says, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Okay? Pastor Menes nailed this down on Wednesday for us 100%. Okay? All the counsel of God. Look, there is no way that we are going to get up here, preach the whole counsel of God in this church, and someone not be offended.
Right.
Look, I read these things and I get offended. Because I know I'm not doing it. I'm like, man. You know, we all do that. But can you maintain your joy? Can you just accept it and get over it?
Right.
Can you just accept the fact I'm not gunning for you? Like, oh, you missed Monday or you missed Sunday. You know, you're a problem. You're going to fall out. Things happen. All right, just get over it. Look at verse number 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Look, we need to understand this here. Jesus Christ looks down at Shield of Faith Baptist Church and says, hey, you guys, I shed my blood for you. And he's looking at me like, hey, you need to make sure that you're preaching the whole counsel to these people. And that's my job. I am commanded to be instant, in season and out of season.
Right.
And there are some things with people right now that are not in season.
Yep.
And I don't care. Look, I don't respect. I learned this a long time ago. It is not worth respecting people. It is not worth it. Okay? And we're going to talk about that tonight. It is not worth it. I'm not doing it. And you shouldn't either. You should all be instant, in season, out of season. It's not just for me.
Yeah.
It's for everybody in this room.
Yeah.
To feed the church of God. Why do we need church? Why do we need to gather? It's to get our spiritual food. You say, but I can get that from my Bible reading. You can and you should and you must. Okay? But there's something else that the Holy Ghost does when we gather together as a body, as a local body, and we have preaching, we have singing, we worship God, and we have fellowship. Okay, there's something very special about that. It does more for your soul. It does more for your new man than you could ever possibly imagine. Look at verse 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Oh, I feel like going up to Paul and being like, hey, that happened like day one. You know what I mean? but we've got to understand. Like Paul, it's not after the space of 3 years, man. It's like every 3 weeks. You know, like... You forgot to put that in. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Yeah. But I would be like, what's going on, Paul? No. Look at verse 30. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Okay. And I told you I'm kind of watching this unfold right now in another church. And it's going to happen again here at some point. Okay. Where people will get mad, they'll get exposed, and they'll draw away other people unto themselves. Okay, and when I find out about it, I'm going to hammer them. Look, Paul said, hey, you Corinthians, you guys want to say I'm weak? You want to say I'm this, I'm that? You better change your attitude because when I come, I will not spare. And people will come at me and, oh, you know, the other pastors don't do it like that and they don't this and they don't that. Yeah, they do. You just don't realize it because it's not you they're talking about. I am not going to let people lie and trash this church or myself or my family or any of your families. Look, what would your employer do? What does your employer do when someone else is talking trash? You know they get upset, don't they? Oh, well, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. You know, so the world got it figured out, but all of a sudden it happens inside the church, and people are like, oh, I can't believe you're doing, I can't believe you kicked up, blah, 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 blah. I can't stand people that are not loyal. I can't stand it. I absolutely cannot stand it, and I won't put up with it. You know, I'm watching the situation right now, you know, and these people have been exposed as being bad, and you still, and this is not here, you know, you still got people, you know, hanging out with them, and oh, you ain't gonna stop me. And look, I've mentioned this before. I've seen people, because God's got me all over this valley in that little Sprinter van, and he sometimes wants me to see things, I guess. I'm like, oh. If I seen you go into somebody's house that was kicked out, I wouldn't even, I'm not gonna kick you out. Look, I'm not gonna lord over God's heritage, but I'm gonna take a note. I'm not gonna trust you. I'm gonna pray for you and hope you get it right. You know, but if it gets to the point to where you're like adamant about it, like, hey, like boasting, like coming to my face, like, hey, then I'm going to kick you out. Right. We're done. Okay. We need unity. Right. We need people to be of the same mind. When you have people trying to damage this flock, I'm going to get mad and I'm going to come after you and I'm going to roast you as hard as I possibly can. See, when I'm just going to join the military, whatever, man, I don't even care. Look, I'm coming for you. And when I preach against, you know, Mr. Corn Pop for three sermons and someone was like, that was a little excessive, I'll do it again. Amen. I'll do it again. Amen. Don't tell me what to do. Look, those people did more damage to this church than you know. They did. I know all of the details. Look, with this whole church thing should come a little bit of respect and trust. You should trust that, you know, there are certain things they know about people that are concrete that need to be dealt with. And not be like, I don't know, he was only 15. I don't care if he was 12. Did God care the age of those kids that were mocking Elijah when he sent the she-bears after him? No. Didn't. He said, you want to mock the man of God? You're going down. And look, I'm going to take that same attitude for this church. We've given up too much. We've sacrificed too much to let people come in here and badmouth it. Amen. I pray to God all the time, please let me find who's doing this. And we will find out and drive it far from us. Because what it does is it hinders our growth. Right? It's just like the whole story in Joshua with Achan. You know, they start to realize, oh, there's a problem. You know, we're not being blessed by God anymore. Okay, and they have to go to the Lord and figure it out. Oh, turn to find out, you know, come to find out, oh, Achan, you know, coveted the Babylonian garment. And hit it. You know, that stuff still happens today. And we need to figure that out. I mean, how many times have we gotten rid of a problem and all of a sudden we get 20 people saved or 30 people saved or, you know, we get new church members and all this stuff, great stuff happens, okay? Now, I'm not saying because everything's down or whatever that, you know, we've got an Achan in here. You know, because we have to understand that we need to go through trials. We need to go through hard times together. It's what makes us stronger, okay? So, verse 30 again, it says, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Go to Ephesians chapter number 5. So, why bring that up? Because we need to be aware that this is a thing. This is the thing that happens. And it's going to happen because people are going to come in here, they're going to act like us, and we're not going to be able to tell. And you're going to get connected to them. And then someday that will be ripped away from you. And you're going to have to be mature enough to deal with your emotions when it happens. And that's what Paul's saying. Hey, be aware of people that draw away disciples after their own selves. And again, we've had two people come in here and try it. It's just they're so dumb. They picked the wrong church. It just didn't work, you know. All right, so let's talk about this here. Beware of people that draw away disciples after themselves, okay? Ephesians chapter number 5, look at verse number 6. What is Paul telling the church here? He says, let no man deceive you with vain words. What does that sound like? Sounds like what he said to the Colossians. Let no man deceive you with vain words. He says, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. So we need to understand that when people come in here with their vain words and their vain janglings and their agendas and we get rid of them, look, God is going to deal with that. But you know what? When people are bleeding hearts after them that are saved, okay, guess what? You are a child of disobedience, and you're going to get dealt with as a child of disobedience. It is going to happen. Verse 7 says, be not ye therefore partakers with them. Go to Revelation chapter number 2. I think that's pretty clear. When someone sets out to do damage to this church, and it is a proven fact, okay, and we expose that, and you go and you're like, oh, but maybe I can love them back to the Lord. Look, at that point, in that situation, you're failing, okay? You're showing your true colors. Look, you guys remember Paul talking about Hymenaeus and Alexander, you know, these cankers, these sores that he had to deliver unto Satan? Do you think that you could go back in time and be like, oh, let me just make them some top ramen and give them some dessert and try to win them over? Yeah, right. There's only one avenue for those types of people, and it's to be delivered up to Satan for the destruction of the flesh that the spirit may, or the soul may be saved in the day of salvation. Okay, that's the only avenue for those types of people, okay? I'm not talking about people that get mad and quit or whatever, okay? That's a whole other thing. That's going to always happen, okay? That's different. Revelation chapter 2, look at verse 1. So, the Lord Jesus says this. He says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them, which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars. Okay? So the Ephesian church, you know, Paul warned them, right? After the space of 3 years, this is all that's going to probably happen to you. All of that came true. I mean, when you read through the New Testament, you go past Acts, you'll see that Paul had to send Timothy back to straighten things out, right? He's constantly having to take care of these churches and iron out these problems that arose. And here, we get a perfect glimpse of this. They still maintain, like, hey, we're still calling false prophets, false prophets. You know, we're using the word of God, and we're calling people, we're doing what we should do. But there's still a problem, okay? And they can't even see it at this point. Verse 3, and has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted, right? So they're still doing some works. They're taking care of each other. You know, the people are properly coming in and getting saved. But he says this, nevertheless, in verse 4, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. You know, there's different ways that you can do this, right? You can get to a point to where you're just soul winning and you're just like, oh, I'm just doing this out of duty and obligation and, you know, whatever. Okay, you've left your first love. Just because you're still laboring and still doing it doesn't mean that God is happy with that. Okay, we want to maintain the joy of our first love. And when you get saved, I mean, what are you loving right there? What are you so happy about? You're happy about the fact that you're not going to hell. You're happy about the fact that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're saved. You're on your way to heaven. That is your first love. And where did that first love come from? It came from the Word of God. Okay, don't lose that love for the Bible, for the Word of God. Continue to read it. Keep studying. Keep these things on your new man every day. Verse 5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Look, this ministry is not guaranteed to stay here forever. If people leave their first love and they neglect it, God will take it from you. Do you guys understand that? You better not ever get this attitude like, oh, it's always going to be here. Because what if it's not? Don't take anything for granted. Verse 6, but this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Can you understand that there are things that God hates? You guys know this. There are things that God hates. And he hates people that are bitter. Not people that are bitter, but people that are false prophets that are bitter towards him that creep into churches for the sole purpose of taking disciples after themselves. I'm watching this unfold right now with a false evangelist that was sent to Hawaii. You know, I mean, I'm just like, how can you be saying these things right now? How can you be praising sodomites? You know, I mean, this is absurd. It's absolutely insane. And it's crazy. But this is what goes on. Look, there are people that are high level at this. There are people that fool all of us. They will come in here. They'll preach the gospel. They will do all of these things. But inwardly, I mean, they're big trouble. And God always manifests it. At some point, God exposes these people. And we just need to make sure that we're tough enough on the inside to be okay with that. Because he hates those types of people. He doesn't hate people that are just get offended and leave. Okay, that happens all the time. It's just like, okay. I mean, it happened to him, right? Pastor Menes talked about that, right? When Jesus was preaching hard things and the disciples were like, you know, this is just too hard for us. We're out of here. And he looks at the 12 like, are you going to go too? Peter's like, thou hast the words of the living God. Where else are we going to go, you know? It happens. You know, those people didn't lose their salvation that left. They didn't go to hell. You know, come on. It's just part of life, okay? Go to Romans chapter 15. And so I wanted to bring that up just as a reminder, just like Paul's reminding the leadership at Ephesus, just like he's reminding them, hey, there will come people that get found out. They're bad. They are working to take people away from serving God. This is a problem. This will happen here. And when it does, we're going to come after them. Okay? And just look. Be on the Lord's side. Don't be like, oh, but I still love them. You love people that want to tear apart the flock?
Yeah.
Sounds like you're of the same feather if that's your... And again, I'm getting off track here. Romans 15, look at verse 31. I want to show you something that Paul says to the Romans. It says this. It says that I may be delivered. So he's asking for prayers, right? He's giving his final exhortation. He says, you know, that I may pray for me that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service, which I have for Jerusalem, may be accepted of the saints. And I want to bring that to your attention there, where he says, which I have for Jerusalem, right? So he's got this vision. He's got this plan for the church in Jerusalem at this time. And he says, please pray that this vision would be accepted by the saints. You know, and that's my prayer for you. That's my prayer for all of us. That the vision that I have to evangelize the community and to edify disciples, to build disciples, to make people want to serve God over man, that would be accepted here amongst all of you. Let's see here. Go to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And so with that being said, we're going to talk about what we have coming up here starting next week. Okay? So we're going to get into the application here. The main reason why I'm preaching this sermon. So we started off talking about how Paul called for the leadership of the churches of Ephesus. And he's going through all of these problems that are going to happen to them. And I was like, look, I spent 3 years teaching and preaching and laboring and showing you by example how to live for Christ. Now here is what is going to happen. Well, what happened? All of those things. But why? Why did those things happen? Why did we read what we read about the church in Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2? In fact, let's ask this question. Where is the church in Ephesus today? It's long gone. It is long gone. And I'll tell you why. It's because they left the first love. They left the basics. That's what it is. And so what we're going to do is we're going to reset. You know, the world, and Carl Schwab, you know, tire boy, tire mouth, right? Les Schwab, whatever you want to call him. Cloud Schwab, that guy who's always running around the internet talking about how he's going to reset the world and all this junk. Okay, we're going to do a better one than that. And we're going to reset this church, and we're going to start from scratch with all of the basic doctrines. And please, be glad about it. Okay, don't be like, oh, but we already learned this. We've already gone through this. You're putting us back on the milk. I'm putting you on the milk. I'm trying to reaffirm some things. I'm trying to make sure that we don't have any cracks in that foundation. Because after 3 years, if we've already had a bunch of clowns coming in here trying to ruin this thing, I mean, how much worse is it going to get? Yeah. We're not going to let it happen. It's not going to happen. So we're starting over with everything. So you're there in 2 Timothy, chapter number 2. Okay? And I've mentioned some things here, and I hope this doesn't offend any of you. And if it does, that's on you, not me. Okay? From now on, if you want to do something for this church, you need to be faithful. You need to be found faithful. And so with that being said, I will find you. You will not find me. Okay? I have made this mistake in the past where I've trusted people with things that they have come to me and wanted to do, and they neglected them. And please understand, I'm not trying to be rude. I am not trying to be mean. Okay? But we just can't have that. And we're going to get into why we can't have that. Okay? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 1. Paul says this to Timothy. He says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Right? Isn't that what we want? Isn't that what we just got done talking about? Wasn't that the first point? And we're going to do that. Okay? And here's how we're going to do it. Look at verse 2. He says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses," he says this, "the same," do not miss these next words, "the same, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." So look, I want you guys to please bear with me and to understand. I have a duty and I have a job to make sure that this thing keeps running the way that God wants it to be ran. Okay, and we cannot have people that are not faithful serving the church in any capacity. I'm sorry, but we can't have it. It's not okay. It does more to the psyche than you understand, and I'm going to show you an example of that here in a minute. Okay, he says, "Commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." This goes down to the smallest thing in a church. I mean, think about this. When people come in here, they watch the order and the operation of this church. Okay? And if they start to see, like, man, that person is not serious, but they're trusted with this job in the church, that sends the wrong message. Can't have it. We still love you. Want you to come. You know, if you, great, but we can't have it. Verse number 4. Verse number 3. He says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Okay, this is something that I have to endure. This is something that we all have to endure because people don't like that. You know, when this church first started, you know, or we first got the building, and someone came to me, "Hey, I'm going to make a website for you." I love this guy. You know, he's welcome back here anytime. And he'll come back, you know. He's got his own program, you know. It's cool. But I shouldn't have done that. That was a mistake on my part. I know in the world not to do that. When I'm running a work crew, I know how that goes, you know. But with this church thing, you know, I'm still trying to learn. I'm still new to this too. I'm still like in my little apprenticeship I'm putting myself through, you know, for the church. So you got to bear with me. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to do some things that are wrong. But from now on, you got to be found faithful, okay? Don't get mad. Don't be upset. It is what it is. This is Bible here. You have to be faithful. Verse 4, it says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully?" Look, so if you want to do something in, you know, in this church, you need to do it lawfully. You need to do it faithfully. You need to be faithful towards God. Okay? Verse 6, "The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." Go to 1 Kings chapter number 10. So after studying this stuff out, you know, I understand now a problem that I've created. You know, I look sometimes, I'm like, man, we just have a small, you know, little deal here, but it doesn't matter. It's fine. It's perfect. We can still do great works for God. Okay? But I'm talking about, like, we need to take this thing to the next level. Yeah. And there are certain things that have to be changed in order for us, I feel, to be able to achieve that. Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40, he said, "Let all things be done decently and in order." Okay, and in order. You know what that means? It means we have Sunday morning service that starts at 10:30. It doesn't start at 10:50. It doesn't start at 9:50. Mm-hmm. It starts at 10:30. That's when church starts. Right. On Wednesday, it starts at 7. It doesn't start at 7:30. It doesn't start at 6:30. It starts at 7 o'clock. Now, all of our phones and, you know, well, our phones are probably the same, but you know that clock back there, those two I can tell right now are different. So there's some grace that goes with a little bit of the minute spectrum, okay? But you get what I'm trying to say, okay? All things, whatever we have in here going on needs to be done decently and in order. This is a commandment. Don't get upset. This is a commandment. This is how we have to operate. Here's why. 1 Kings chapter number 10. We're getting close to being done, okay? We're going to go through some verses here. So this is a story where the queen of Ethiopia comes and she visits Solomon. So she has heard of his fame. She has heard of his wisdom. She has heard about all the stuff that God has done through that nation. Okay, and I want you to look at this here. 1 Kings chapter 10, look at verse 1. It says this. "And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, concerning the name of the Lord. She came to prove him with hard questions. Right? Doesn't that happen inside of this church all the time? 122 people came through those doors. And you know what? A majority of those people, except for the babies, had hard questions. You know, 22 of them that came from the internet, they had questions. Hey, I was looking at your website and I noticed you have this on there. Why? We have to be able to explain why. Okay. Same thing that's going on here. Verse 2. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. How does Solomon respond to this woman here? It's like, shoo, get out of here. You're not worth it. My nation's so much, we're like so much better than you. We don't need you. We don't need the spices. We don't need the resources that you brought. We don't need your talents. Is that what he does? You're not like us? No. Verse 3. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king, which he told her not. You know, and it's kind of funny. Going back to that follow-up Friday that we just had, you know, I told Brother David, I was like, don't let me talk about the Sodomites, you know, and all that stuff. Because it's a big issue today. You know, they're public school. You know, these kids go to public school. And it's like, I know they're seeing this stuff. I know they're being fed in some capacity this stuff. You know, but I'm like, man, it's like we always talk about it and I don't want to offend them. And then I just felt so, I was like, I gotta do it, right? So we had a little Romans 1 Bible study, you know what I mean? But you know what? Looking at this verse here, we ought not to hide anything from these people.
Right.
I'd rather them know right off the bat what we believe than to have them come here and to find out through the grapevine, I guess, and be like, well, were you trying to hide that from me, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, no. And they weren't offended. So like, oh. So that's how that works. Okay. All right, you know. Verse 4. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built. So understand this, okay? When people come in here, they're going to see this house that God has built, okay? God has not only built this house, this local body here, but he's given us instructions on how to run it. And it should be ran decently and in order by faithful men, by faithful people,
amen.
Right? So look at verse 4. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all of Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built and the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants, even the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel and his cupbearers and his ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. Look at that verse again. The meat of his table. So when people come in here and they see the meat of the word of God being preached and being believed on and received by you as well, that you agree with this, that you endorse this, that you love this, that you have joy in this. When they see that, the meat that is at our table and the sitting of the servants, okay, they see someone greeting people that come in. They see someone who receives them and shows them around. They see Brother Mike sitting over there, and they, well, what's he doing over there? And why is he there? What's going on? That's interesting. And we explain. We make sure that some clown doesn't come in here and try to dig up my floor back there looking for an 18,000-foot giant's femur bone. Okay? You know, that's important. But they see the operation, how things are done purposely. Okay, there's a reason why we do everything that we do with the announcements, with the way that the service is ran, all of that stuff, okay? When guests come in here, we need to look at them as a queen of Sheba, right? And we want the result that Solomon gets here. Look, the attendance of the ministers, the apparel, right? The people are taking this serious. You know, hey, I dress this way, not because I'm trying to live up to a doctrine of men or anything. I do this because I love the Lord and I want to put on my best. And their apparel and his cupbearers. All the service, he said, in the ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. This is our goal from now on when people come through this door. Okay, this is what we need. This is the desired effect. Whether they come back or not is up to them and obviously up to the Lord, because there are some people, I think the Lord's like, get up, get them out of here, right? We want no more spirit, so to speak. We want their breath to be taken away.
Right.
We want them to be like, wow, this church, this group of people is what went all the way out to Caldwell or Mountain Home and knocked on my door? And we want them at bare minimum to have no more breath in them, no more spirit. We want to leave that style of impact on everyone who comes in here. And that's why we need to take these things serious. Does that make sense? This is why the church should be operated by faithful men, by faithful people. Commit these things to them. Look at this in verse 6. And she said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom." Right? Isn't that what we want? Because when we get that desired result, and God's already shown us how to do it, when we get that result, what do we get? More laborers for his harvest. More people to do the work of God. Verse 7. "Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and my eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and thy prosperity exceedeth the fame which I had heard." Okay, so people have a preconceived idea when they come in here, what we're about. Okay, nobody just, "Oh, there's a church." They're not just driving down the road. Oh, boom, they pull over. And I mean, that might happen once in a blue moon. But they've already looked at our website. They've already looked at our YouTube channel. They just don't admit it. Because we all do the same thing, right? Before you guys go to the Starbucks over here with a false god on the cup, you know, you probably check the rating. Well, what's the best one around? Is this worth spending my money? Is this worth investing in? Okay, we all do that for businesses. You better believe they're going to do that to this church. Especially if you've knocked on their door, you've already had some kind of conversation with them. They've got a preconceived idea, and we want to exceed that. That's what I'm talking about. Verse 8. "Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom." I want people to serve here that are happy, that have joy. You see, but I can't make it to all three services. Look, I know who's faithful and who's not. It's just, it is what it is. Can you love the Lord? Look, if you love the Lord and you have joy with these things, we need your help. Okay? And people that come in here will see that, and it will turn their heart around. Verse 9, "Blessed be the Lord thy God." Do you see that? We want people to say that when they come in here. Hey, blessed be the Lord God. We do the things that we do inside of this church, inside Shield of Faith Baptist Church, to glorify God, because we want people to say that. Hey, I came into that church and they showed me that I really wasn't saved. And they were kind enough to let me know that tactfully, and they got me saved. Like Stan. Right? I mean, that's what happened to him, and he keeps coming back. Verse 9. "Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice." Okay? So again, we're not neglecting judgment. We're not neglecting justice. We're going to keep doing these things. All I'm saying is we need to do things decently and in order by faithful people. Okay? Now look at verse 10. "And she gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices, very great store, and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon." So when people see the order in operation that it points to God, and they see people that are happy to be here, that love God, that love this church, amen, that aren't bitter, it does something to them, and they want that too. And they'll say, "You know what? I'm going to give my talents. I'm going to give my gifts. I'm going to give my abilities to help this thing go forward." Amen. See, how do we get more people? How do we get more laborers? Hopefully you're listening to everything that I'm telling you this morning, because I'm showing you how to do it. Don't neglect how things are ran inside of this building. It matters, okay? Verse 11. It says, "In the navy also of Hiram that brought gold from Ophir, brought in from Ophir great plenty of almug trees and precious stones." Look, we could use some of those trees now. Okay? "I need somebody to bring in some wood because I got some projects." No, I'm just kidding. Okay, just teasing. Verse 12. "And the king made of the almug trees pillars for the house of the Lord and for the king's house, harps also, and psalteries for singers." You know, there came no such almug trees, nor were seen unto this day. Okay? So one of the things we explained to this family that we fellowship with, like, look, if you come, we have a piano. But we're not against instruments, right? We just don't have a lot of people that can play. I'm out. Okay? I blew that back in second grade when I started mocking the music program. God made me reprobate concerning playing music and instruments. You know? So I'm rejected in that aspect. But that's my fault. Go to Luke chapter 2 and we're done. Luke chapter 2 and we're done. Luke chapter 2 and we're done. Look at verse 49. Luke chapter 2, verse number 49. So you know this story very well. Okay, we've talked about it recently. It's where Jesus' parents go 3 days' journey and they're like, wait, where's Jesus? We better go back and find him. Everybody in here has almost left their kid at some point. I've done it. I think I almost left Caden like, what, 6 months ago, was it? I got in a vehicle. I'm like, Jessica's like, aren't you missing somebody? I'm like, we got to go. I was like really hungry. I wasn't thinking about it. Like, look, you guys are teenagers, man. You know she's getting in the car. I'm like, oh, yeah. So here comes Caden out the door. He's like running. I'm like, oh. She's like, I wasn't going to let you get far. I'm like, yeah, thanks. Okay. I can relate, Mary. Don't worry. Verse 50. And they understood not the saying which he... Oh, I'm sorry. What am I... Yeah. Sorry. Verse 49. And he said unto them... This is Jesus. So obviously, parents come back and they're like, hey, you know, why'd you do this to us? Verse 49. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? So he corrects her, right? Because she's like, hey, you know, your father and I have been worried about you. And he's like, whoa, whoa, hold on. My father's up here. Okay, don't you forget that. Verse 50, and they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. Verse 5, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. I hope that you guys keep all these sayings today that we went over in your hearts. Humility of mind. The new vision with the soul winning. The goals that we have this year. Okay, the grace. We do need to extend more grace to people, to all of us, to each other. Okay, if we can remember that. And understand that when the time comes and people need to get shredded, we don't have a bleeding heart. Okay? If we can get to that point and be subject to that vision, look at verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. This is it. This is what we are driving towards from now on. And we've been doing that from day one anyways, okay? But we're going back to the basics for a short season to cover them again, to make sure that we don't fall into the Ephesian trap, okay? We don't want to lose our first love. We don't want to stop doing it, but we don't want to be doing it out of bitterness and grudgingly either. We want joy. We want this to be a place where you're like, I can't wait to get back to church. I love being around God's people. I love the Word of God, right? That is the culture that we need to foster inside of these walls. And we will do that. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature. Now, my goal is to not increase this way or this way anymore in stature, right? Because I'm done growing. I shouldn't be. I don't know why I keep growing. But but obviously, he's talking about maturity as well. That's the application, okay? We need to grow. All of us, we need to grow and in favor with God and man, okay? Let's work on that. We're going to work on these three things to be improved this year. And I already said how we're going to do it. I'm going to do it by going back to the basics, okay? It's not an attack. It's not an insult. It is needful. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to leave you with this verse. We already read it. Revelation 2:5. Jesus said this to the Ephesians, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent and do the first works or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place except thou repent. Again, we started off with Paul talking to the Ephesian elders, to the leadership in Ephesus. He said, hey, by the space of 3 years, I warned you, I told you, now here's what's going to happen. Okay, well, we are now at our 3-year anniversary and I'm telling you, trouble is coming. You heard what happened to Steadfast. Those people that did that are coming for us. And they have mentioned all of us by name. They are coming for us. There are people that will be coming in here to cause damage to this church. And we ain't going to let it happen. Someone said, yeah, that pastor's crazy. And I might be a little bit on the edge sometimes. But I'll tell you what. I ain't going to let anybody talk trash about this ministry, about you, about me. And if I find out, I'm coming for you. I don't care if we're down to 2 people. We're going to still do this mission with those 2 people. This will happen. This will go forward. We are not going to let people eat this thing as doth a canker. We can't. We can't allow that. We can't allow what happened to the church in Ephesus to happen here. We're not going to do that.
The way we're going to do it is by making sure that we develop that love. We maintain that love for the first works. Okay? So just be aware. There are some things that are changing. There are some things that are going to be a little bit different. Okay? I've tried to drop little hints and sayings, you know, the last year about it. Don't be afraid. It's all for the better. And it's really nothing to worry about. Okay? It's all good stuff. Okay? I'm going to increase the soul winning a little bit. We're going to change some things up a little bit. It's all for the better, okay? It's to get that 1 Kings chapter 10 result. It's to get those Queen of Sheba's that come in here to stay. That's what we want, okay? We need help. We need more laborers in the harvest. And God has shown us today how to do that. So from this day forward, everything is geared towards achieving those results. Everybody cool? Everybody agree with that? Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Thank you so much, Lord, for the wisdom that you give us week after week, Lord. I just pray that you would help us to build up ourselves, to be joyful for everything that you have, Lord. The stuff that's easy, the stuff that's hard, the stuff that's hard to understand. And I just pray you would bless the fellowship after the service, the soul winning today, Lord, and bring us back safely tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
All right, so for our final hymn this morning, let's turn to song number 212, Oh Happy Day. Great song. Let's sing it out, song number 212, Oh Happy Day. On the first, oh happy day, that fixed my choice. On thee, my Savior and my God, may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Jesus washed my sins away. Happy bond that seals my vows to him who merits all my love. The cheerful anthems fill his house while to that sacred shrine I move. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. 'Tis done, the great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and he is mine. He drew me and I followed on, charmed to confess this voice divine. Happy rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Rest my long divided heart fixed on this blissful center rest. Forever from my Lord depart, with him of every good possessed. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Amen. Brother Vic, we close this with a word of prayer, please.
Thank you.